You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
So yeah, we're doing this series called Family Hacks, and we're looking at different things related to family, different issues going on, and related to these guys doing a great job back there cleaning up the mess. I want to talk about this phrase that you may have heard before, and if you haven't, well, you will now. But the phrase is, you had one job. Have you ever heard that phrase? Yes? Yeah, huh? Say amen, because that's what you do in MC3, right? Anyway, right. Anyway, so this idea of you had one job, and there's the phrase up on this. Whoa. What happened there? Go to the next slide, number slide 2. Forward one more. We good? There we go. You had one job. Okay, so, and if you're not familiar with this concept, the idea of you had one job, the joke, the meme, the internet sensation that it has become, is this idea that you just had one job to do, and you messed it up. Okay, you just had one job, and you screwed it up. And so we're going to bring this back, but I have a whole lot, because I just couldn't resist. There's like 20-some pictures here of people that... You had one job. So here's the first one, just to give you a clue of what we're talking about here. Baseball, bounce balls. Full of soccer balls. You had one job. Get it? You follow me here? All right, move on to the next one here. Juicy bacon. It is definitely juicy. But not much bacon. You had one job. I mean, come on, people. You see the sign that says juicy bacon. Change the sign or change what you're putting in there. Although, if there is bacon in that drink, I will drink it. Right? I mean, it's good. It's worth it. Okay, next one here. Strawberries. You had one job. You couldn't manage to put strawberries in the strawberry container? Wasn't somebody... It's not like there's one there. There's multiple containers. It's not like... Isn't someone going, I don't think these are strawberries. They look sort of blue. Like, what? You had one job. Okay, next one here. Safety eyewear. Oh, yeah, there we go. My guess is if you put that over your eyes, it would not be safe. Just going out on a limb here. Okay, the next one. This is great. Now, this is a display at a store. And if you read carefully on the bags, they all say retailer. Remove bag for display in bright, you know, in big, bold print. You had one job. You couldn't just take them off. Even though it says over there, retailer, remove bag, retailer, remove bag, retailer, all of those say that. Okay, moving on to the next one. Classic hot dog buns. Shaped like hamburger buns. You had one job. Again, didn't, okay. Next one here. This is a fun one. You have to take a moment to look at this. This is an Econo camper mat. Now, when you get it, let me know. He's not on it, right? So apparently you buy that to put your book on, but then sit next to it. Dude, camper mat model guy, you had one job. Lay on the mat at least. So if you have a magazine, that is the mat for you to buy. Okay, the next one here. Happy Hours Day. You had one job. Come on, you can't get the B in there. That is an A. Happy A-I-R-T-H-D-A-Y. You had one job. Okay, this is a great one here. This is a label for coax cable. And the English version is there. Four-way coax splitter. French, French, French. Spanish, Spanish, Spanish. You had one job. Okay, this is just twisted and mean for children. Hey, Johnny, can you go put the candy in the candy dispenser? Sure. Sure, the candy's in the candy dispenser now. We're good to go. That's just cruel. You had one job. Okay, next one here. This is a safety feature. Don't even know where to go on that. Come on. And I love how that had to be passed by an inspector because it's a safety sign. But Anyway, here's a fun one, and this is going to take a little bit of a second here, but this is a screen on an ATM. An ATM, which is short for automated teller machine. Currently, this ATM is unable to dispense cash. Would you like to continue? Yes or no? Well, if it's not going to give you money, what is the point? You had one job, ATM. You can't even do that. Okay, another one. Great value Walmart brand, undisclosed retailer brand of 100 spoons that sure look like forks. You had one job. This is actually not really I had one job, but I came across this and it's just kind of funny. So take your moment here. This is a billboard location out in public. The left one says, smoking doesn't help your depression. Quitting can. Quit smoking. Immediately to the right is John Wayne saying, don't much like quitters, son. Awkward. Somebody should have noticed that at one point. So do I follow the Duke? Where do I get into my smoking habit? I don't know what to do. Okay. All right. You had one job. It's a cheeseburger. The cheese goes on the burger inside. This was someone opening that up there. I have no idea. Anyway, I have no idea. Okay, you had one job. Okay, next one here. This is a frame for your family. With yellow and red and green and blue. Nobody picked up on this? You had one job. All right. Gate. You had one job. Yeah, and if it was broken off, I'd be like, okay, but that's not broken. That's made that way. So I guess it's for like the, you know, like, I don't know, people that would perhaps be perhaps detail-oriented or something and be like, there's a gate. I can't go past. There's a gate. I don't know anybody that would do that. But I might. Because there's a gate. But anyway, so gay, you had one job. Okay, this is kids. No wonder our kids are having problems in school, right? Here we go. Hey, Dad, you want some help? I'll help. Sure, what can I do? Can you please go grab the shovel? It's the one that looks like a hammer. Oh, and I need the hammer. It looks like a screwdriver. I don't know if you can see that, but it says shovel on the hammer and then hammer on the screwdriver. Okay, display at an undisclosed retail location here. It is a container full of orange pumpkin pails. You had one job. They are not orange. And if, for those of you that are colorblind, they are blue or something of that shade. I don't know if this is for real, if this is a joke, but this is just too crazy. This is the College of Architecture and Planning. And they didn't have room for the C. You had one job. All right. And here we go. Remote control. You had one job. The left and the right and I don't know. All right. Now, this is great. How many of you have gone to, like, you know, an aquarium? You're like, oh, can we go feed the dolphins? I am not feeding that dolphin. I am sorry. Somebody should have noticed that. And the really sad part is maybe they didn't. They're like, I guess this is what they look like. So, all right. So, yeah, you had one job. And this is, it's a giant billboard. And if you notice, her body ends here and starts over there. And, like, didn't somebody pick up on this? You had one job. Put up the billboard. And they mixed them back and forth. All right. And then here's the last one here, you know, just in case there's an emergency. Avoid the free lane. The fry lane. I'm not even sure what that is. But they had one job. So you have probably heard that phrase before. Now you haven't. If you haven't. Now you have. But the issue with this idea of you had one job, and of course they're funny, and some of them were, you know, probably made in some country that doesn't even know English, and so they wouldn't be able to figure it out. But I want to talk about the idea of distraction. And the issue with these people is that something diverted their attention. Something diverted them from focusing on what they were supposed to focus, which was their one job. Put the blueberries in the blueberry container and put strawberries in the strawberry container. But perhaps something happened that distracted them, that diverted their attention away from their one job to something else. And this week, we're going to talk about something, as it's on the screen there. We're going to talk about something that, frankly, in my experience, growing up in church, the church doesn't talk about this much. Not that it's like secret or taboo. I mean, we're talking about sex next month, so the church doesn't talk about that because it's like, sex. But this idea of singleness is something that is often not talked about in church. I'm not sure why. Again, it's not that controversial. It's just something that we kind of avoid. And in my experience, and you'll have a chance to talk about this in your prime groups this week, kind of your personal experience and then, you know, culture experience, church experience, all that. But in my experience, like, it seems like, you know, if you're a follower of Jesus, you know, you're an adult, but you'll really be a follower of Jesus once you're married. You know, that's how you grow in spiritual growth. Oh, you're single. No, we'll tolerate you. We're glad you're here. But when you get married, then you can be a real person. Then you can be really what God wants you to be. Then you can pull on your big boy pants, your big girl pants. And I want you to understand that is not accurate. That is a wrong impression, and we're gonna talk about how all this looks. And again, I said this series, you know, we're gonna be looking at different topics, and you might go, well, I'm not single, I guess today's not for me. Well, I hope it is for you, because there's some things I want us to get and walk away with, even if you're not single, even if you are married. And that is how I'm defining this, just to be clear. If you are unmarried, then you are single. If you are married, I don't care if you have a boyfriend or how long you've been together, you're still single if you're unmarried. So just to define those two terms, single is unmarried, married is married. So I said we were going to be looking at some different things. And then the other thing is that I might step on toes a little bit. I don't think I'm going to step on your toes today, but I don't know. Just be prepared and, you know, watch your step as you walk out through the sewer. But I want to look at this idea. And here's the point that's on the screen there, is try this relationship hack. Stay single and serve God. Because, again, we kind of have this idea in church, again, and out in the culture, it's all muddled and messed up. And, again, you'll have a chance to discuss that in prime groups, and I'll talk about it a little bit more in a bit here. But when it comes to following Jesus, married isn't necessarily better. And the issue comes down to this idea of having one job. And when we have one job, you know, if your job is to put the strawberries in the strawberry container, hopefully you can do that with your one job. And if you have multiple jobs, it's sometimes easier to get distracted from what you're supposed to be doing. Your attention is diverted to multiple things. And this is something that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. So the lights are going to turn on. It'll be on the screen. You can go to YouVersion, tap on 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians for a bit today. But this is a letter that the Apostle Paul, an apostle is just a fancy word for a guy that was with Jesus. He is a follower of Jesus, and he wrote a letter to this church that he planted in Corinth. And in this letter, he's basically kind of, after he planted the church, going back and talking about some issues, some problems, and some things that he wanted to address. And so this is what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. So it's like a preamble. He's giving you like a little heads up, a little intro to what he's about to talk about. I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. And you could also translate it, this is the Sean translation, the Greek says, I want you to have one job. Now, it's kind of hard to tell if you read the Greek, so you might not see it exactly translated that way. Actually, it's not that way at all, I'm just saying that. But he says kind of that preamble, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. I want you to have a single-minded focus. I want you to understand what you're getting into. And so he says this, an unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking about how to please him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. So this little passage can be summarized in the idea. Paul says, look, I just want to make sure you know what you're getting into, and I want you to consider just having one job. Because if you have one job, hopefully you can do that job and do it well. Now, I probably won't say this any further along. Paul is not advocating breaking your marriage. He is not advocating splitting with your wife or your husband. He's not saying that, and we'll see. I'm going to contradict myself in a little bit later, and that's all part of the fun of what I'm going to say this morning. But so don't walk away going like, yeah, I should totally leave my wife so I can love Jesus. Probably leaving your wife, actually going with some other things that the Bible talks about with marriage, is not what Jesus would want you to do, and it's not a loving thing to do when it comes to following Jesus. And so, we'll talk more about the other end of the spectrum next week when we talk about the idea of marriage. But I want you to understand this. Let's break this 1 Corinthians 7 passage down. And again, it's in the Bible. It's right there. And often is just kind of skipped over or glossed over or not intentionally ignored. It's kind of weird. How do you talk about this? How do you talk about it? Especially when, you've got all sorts of spectrums on what this looks like in culture. Some people, and we'll talk about this later, but, singleness. Oh, I'm free. I'm single. I can do whatever I want. And then the other side is, oh, you're single, so you're a spinster. You're an old widower. When I guess a widower would be someone that's, well, that would be a single person too. But just kind of this concept of like, single is like this, like, and that's exactly not what Paul explains. And I also need you to understand something too, is that Paul is unmarried. Paul is speaking and teaching as a man who is not married. And so here's some things I want to look at in this passage about doing your one job. Doing your one job. Sorry. The first thing is that one job, meaning being single, may help with pleasing God. It may help with pleasing God. So understand it doesn't say it automatically, single does not mean you're automatically following God. And again, we'll come back to that later. But it may help you with pleasing God. And this is what Paul says there in chapter 7, verse 32. He says, I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. He says, look, followers of Jesus, church at Corinth, people that call themselves Christ followers, know what it's like. I want you to know what you're getting into, and I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. It's easy to get it caught up, and we talked about this last month in the Dirt series. He could probably say, I want you to avoid the weeds. I want you to avoid the weeds that are going to cause distractions and kind of catch you up and pull you down. And he says, an unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please him. And this idea, it's pretty straightforward, but the word to please means to make one inclined to make God happy, even though, our God doesn't change his emotions based on us. But this idea is saying, my focus, if I am unmarried, can be, what can I do to serve God? How can I please God in any area, anything in my life, in anything that I do? I know we've got jobs and there's expenses and bills and friends and all, I get all of that. But this idea of saying, if you're unmarried, you can focus your energy on pleasing God. And he goes on and says, but a married man has to think, and I think it's good that there's a has in there, not might think. No, he has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. Now, his interests are divided because he can't just focus on God because he has to. And that's not seen as a ball and chain or something awful like that, but it's just seen as responsibility. As a husband, your responsibility is to love your wives as Christ loved the church. And that requires effort, that requires focus, that requires time, that requires your attention. And so Paul is saying, look, an unmarried person, they don't have that extra thing distracting their attention. They don't have that extra thing pulling away their interest. And so they can focus on making sure that the strawberries are in the strawberry container. They can make sure that they're loving Jesus and pleasing him with everything. Because they don't have to go, I think I want to move to Oaxaca and serve at Trigo Email. If you're married, you dare not, biblically or for the wrath of your family, you dare not say, oh, we're doing it. That needs to be a discussion. That needs to be a time of prayer. That needs to be something that, hey, honey, husband, sweetheart, man, woman, wherever, you know, whoever you're the man or the woman in the relationship. Just saying, this is something I feel like God's leading me to do, and you need to consider and decide, okay, what about now? Is this going to work? What about the kids? What about their ages? What about schooling and all these things? And maybe that's what you do. You end up moving your whole family to Oaxaca to serve at Trigo y Miel with the children down there. But if you are a single person, that conversation goes a whole lot faster because you're just talking to yourself and to God. Because you don't have divided interests. You can say, God, if this is going to please you, then I'm going to do it. And I don't have to worry, and worry is a negative word, but I don't have to be concerned, which is a fake way to say worry. But I don't have to think about what my wife, my family is concerned about, because that's not my responsibility. My responsibility, at this point, if you're a single person, an unmarried person, you can focus your attention on how to please God. So that's the first thing, is that one job, if you're single, if you have one job of a single person, it may help with pleasing God. Now, at the same time, if you're not actually thinking about pleasing God, it's not going to help. It's not like a magic good luck charm. They're like, ooh, I'm single. Yay, God loves me more. No. But it at least gives you single-minded focus, single attention to pleasing God, and you don't have to be concerned with your spouse. You don't have to be concerned with making sure that you please them. And again, that is a good thing. And we'll get to this in a second. It's not bad if you're focusing on pleasing God and pleasing your spouse. That's a good thing. That's a biblical thing. But realize that there are two in that equation. And if you take one away, and I can figure this math out, it leaves one. And then there's only one thing that you need to focus on. So that's the first thing, is that one job may help with pleasing God. The second thing is that one job can focus on devotion to God. And this is what he goes on and says in verse 34. He says, in the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married, and of course no longer married, he's referring to obviously in our culture, a divorced person or an unmarried, a widow, who has never been married, can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and spirit. And so he says here that an unmarried woman, an unmarried person, they can be devoted to God and made holy. And the word is it's a really cool word. It's hagios. And it means to be set apart, to be distinct, to be unique. And I would suppose, and I don't know much about my Roman Catholic history or anything like that, but I would suppose that this is probably one of the passages that leads to kind of the idea of a nun or a priest. Because, the nun is devoted to God, or the monk kind of concept. And again, I don't know, that might not be accurate, but it seems like this is where that would at least be drawn out, that concept. And because a person that is single can be devoted to God, devoted to the Lord, devoted to Jesus, and holy in body and spirit. In body meaning physically everything they do, and spiritually everything that, unphysical, the immaterial part of us, being able to be devoted to God, to offering everything you have to God. Where, again, he goes on and says, but a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. Because there are other responsibilities. When you have a family, suddenly things get more complicated. Suddenly you're trying to go in different directions. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it suddenly takes away your focus. So instead of being able to say, you know what, it's Sunday morning, I'm going to go to worship, you've now got to think, well, wait a second. Do we have the car? Do they need to go? Is someone else working today? How is that? Or I don't really like that church. It smells like a sewer in there. Now you've got to make a decision. Because if your answer to that problem is, we don't go to church, problem. But you do have to be having that dialogue and that discussion and say, okay, where do we go? But if God says, I want you to go to, and this is just a shallow example, but going to church, showing up to worship on a Sunday morning, if you're single, you do what you want to do. You go where you want to go. But if you're married, now you have a decision to make. You have some discussions that have to happen. And you cannot fully be devoted to God in body and spirit because you are also giving your body and your spirit to your spouse. And we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks, the idea of giving our body physically to our spouses. This is a biblical concept. It is a good concept. But if we are married, that's the division. That's the divided attention. If we're single, everything we've got can go to God. We can work late at night serving Jesus and not worry about, hey, honey, can you turn off the light? I really need to get to sleep. There is no honey to turn off the light because I'm alone. And so I'm going to do what I need to do as long as I need to do it because I'm doing it for Jesus. So that's the idea here, is that singleness is actually, it can be a holy thing. There's something here, and again, looking at the way church, and if you haven't grown up in church, I know this is like, I don't know what he's talking about. That's fine, I get that. But if you have grown up in church, I mean, we kind of look at like marriage, and marriage is a holy and sacred thing, but marriage is the only holy and sacred thing, and singleness is like the, you know, the ugly duckling kind of, that someday you'll get to be real. Where here, Paul says, no, this is a holy thing. H-O-L-Y, sacred, set apart in singleness. So, doing your one job. One job may help with pleasing God. One job can focus on devotion to God. And again, it can, because just because you're single doesn't mean you're automatically dedicated body and spirit to God. And there's some other parts in here that when it comes to this idea of devotion and dedicating your life to God, it doesn't mean you have to go off and wear robes and hide in a cave. But it just says, hey, I'm no longer distracted. I'm no longer have divided attention, because I can give everything I've got to God. I can be worn out for Jesus and not have to worry about coming home and going, oh, sorry, kids, I don't have time for you, because I'm worn out for Jesus. And that all sounds spiritual and great, but it's not biblical. Because our job as husbands, our job as wives, our job as spouses, as parents, is to give our attention to those other things that are priorities. And they're 1, 2, and 3, Jesus first, spouse second, family third, but they're still 1, 2, and 3. If you get rid of 2 and 3, you've only got 1. And there is no question, there's no hesitation, there's no concerns. And so that's what Paul is saying, that one job may help with pleasing God. One job can One job can focus on devotion to God. And then the third thing, and this is the clincher, this is the linchpin. One job, and I apologize, you probably can't read that as well as I would have liked, but one job is not a requirement by God. So having one job is not something that God says, you must be single. Obviously, we have some issues with Genesis when God says, you know, husband, leave your wife, be united to your, husbands, leave your family, be united to your wife, two become one flesh, be fruitful and multiply. That doesn't work if everybody's single. We need to be married. You need to have relationships to grow. I mean, we're here 2,000, maybe way more than 2,000, probably, I don't know, let's say 6,000, depending on your dating, 6,000 years, 4,000 years after that, and the human race is alive and well. And so understand that Paul isn't saying everybody should be single. He's not. It's not a requirement by God. And this is what he goes on and says. He says, I am saying this for your benefit. He's basically saying, I want to give you a reality check here. I want you to be aware of what you're getting into. I want you to know what's coming up. Not to place restrictions on you. Not to place restrictions on you. He says, look, I'm not saying this because you have to. I'm not saying this because I'm requiring you to be single, to have this one job focus. He says, I'm not doing it to put restrictions on you. And the Greek word restrictions, it's actually got two phrases. One means to throw over, to arrest, to seize, to put in chains. And the other word is restraint. And these kind of two words together become place restrictions. So he says, I'm not trying to chain you down and keep you from doing what you want. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm not trying to lock your hands and feet and say, you must be single, you must do it this way. He says, I'm not doing this to place restrictions on you. Why am I doing it? I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best, with as few distractions as possible. So Paul is saying, look, I want you to know what you're getting into. We have a number of engaged couples at MC3 right now. And Paul's like, hey, before you do this, understand what you're getting into. And it's not a bad thing to get into it, but just know that now you're devoted not to just yourself, And not just to God, but now you're devoted to yourself, God, and your spouse as well. And so now your interests are divided and there's going to be a distraction. And again, you can go into it without distraction, but just be aware of what you're getting into. When I do a wedding, when I perform a wedding, I require, as the church, you know, we've come together as elders, and you know, we require 5 1-hour premarital counseling sessions. Why? Because I want couples to know what they're getting into. I want them to understand what's going to happen. And if they say, you know, we can't make that, I say, I'm sorry, but I will not marry you. Because the issue for me isn't the legal ability to sign your license. The issue for me is giving you the training to understand what you're getting into, to understand what this is going to require of you and the sacrifice that it's going to make. Because, and again, we'll get into this in a couple more weeks, but when Jesus says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, what did Jesus do? He died for the church. He sacrificed for the church. And Paul says, look, if you're getting into this marriage thing, I need you to understand that it's going to require you to not just give everything to God, but now to give everything to God and to your spouse. I want you to know what you're getting into. And one of the things I say in my little cheesy opening statements in our premarital counseling sessions is that, you know, it requires more work to get a driver's license than a marriage license. I mean, all you need to do is sign. You have to meet there ahead of time, sign, and you're good to go. Driver's license, at least you need to take some tests, and you have a permit, and you have to take some time with that. You know, and of course, you would hope that your doctor... it's about to operate on you. Then say, oh, I found my license on the internet. You would hope that they took the time to train and plan for it. Well, marriage is a big deal. And so it's going to take time and work and effort to plan to get into it, knowing what you're getting into. And so that is one of the reasons we do this. And this is what Paul is talking about. I want you to understand what you're getting into. Because being married has some divided interests. But it is not a restriction. I am not forcing this. You are not required to do this. You don't have to do this. And you cannot look down on anyone that chooses not to be single and say, oh, well, clearly you are married and you don't love the Lord like I do. No, Paul says that's not the point. The point is just be aware of what you're getting into. Reality check here that there is going to be some divided attention, some divided interest. And you no longer can say you only had one job. Now you have multiple jobs. And so that's what Paul is saying. And that is why doing your one job, it's not a requirement by God. One job is not a requirement. And so when it comes to all these things that he is talking about, when it comes to having your one job, is that just keep in mind, if you're single, if you are unmarried, you can be focused on pleasing God. And if you're unmarried, you can be devoted to God. You can give physically everything you've got to God and not have anyone else worry or be concerned or miss out because you're giving yourself to God. But he says, understand that this isn't a requirement. And so as we, and we'll get to this in a second, and we just need to be aware of that. If we're single and we have chosen to be single, and we'll get to that in a second too. If we've chosen to be single, we can't say, oh, you're married. You're not as good as me. Or vice versa. Oh, we're married. And someday you'll get to be a big boy, a big girl, and be married like us. That's not the issue here. The issue is, this is what it's going to take. Are you in or are you out? And you can be in, you can be out, either side, safe. In the middle, just like grape. Really old reference to Karate Kid, which is like 1984. I saw a movie last weekend and they referred way back in the past to 1992. Ouch. And then they made, of course, the joke about the really old movie Empire Strikes Back. That's okay because I'm getting older. And so someday I will have something wise to say. And I'm waiting for that moment. But it's coming. I see it. It's coming. So the point is, try this relationship hack. Stay single and serve God. If you are unmarried, just, I want to kind of maybe reframe, readjust your thinking about this idea. And not as a, someday I'm going to get married, someday I'm going to get married, I can't wait to get married, whatever, whatever, whatever. Maybe God is saying to you, maybe you need to stay single so that you can fully, wholly, totally devote yourself to serving him. So, if you are single or if you are not single, if you are married or unmarried, I want to share just some thoughts about maybe adjusting our focus, adjusting the way we look at this. So these are just some single adjustments that we need to make as we consider what singleness is, how we approach, how we view singleness as a single person or as an unmarried person as we look at this issue. So the first thing that I want us to see is that singleness should be honored. Singleness should be honored. And again, in churches, sometimes this is not seen that way. Sometimes in churches, this is not a position of honor, but it's a, I mean, I've even been a part of places where, you know, you can't even have this ministry role until you are married. Now, obviously, if it's leading the young marriage group, then that makes sense that you are married to lead the young marriage group. It does. There's some logic there. But other positions that are just something simply as seeing like, oh, well, then you'll be mature enough to handle this ministry. And that is not true. That is not accurate. Just because of marriage or unmarried doesn't change the maturity of the fitness of a person for a position. This changes the fitness of a person for a position, their heart. That's what matters. And it's not an issue of simply saying, married, all right, good to go. Single, oh, sorry, someday. So it should be honored. And this is what Paul writes, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And he says, I wish everyone were single, just as I am. He says, I wish everybody was. Now, that's obviously, there's multiplication issues, be fruitful and multiply issues, if that was the case. Also understanding that God designed sex for within marriage. And so if we are looking at it from a biblical perspective, and if God says sex is for in marriage, and then we talk about being single, then there are no more kids, okay? Just to clarify that. Singles should not be having sex. And we'll get to that in a little bit, too. But he says, I wish everyone was single. He says, yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. And so Paul is actually recognizing, he said, you know what? Singleness is a gift. Singleness is a special thing. It is a cool thing. It is a powerful thing. And for some people, that is their gift. That is something. I am single, and God has given me this gift, this ability to be single and to serve and devote my life to Him and to give everything that I've got to Him. And so he recognizes that this is something that should be honored. It's not this extra thing. It's not this, well, whatever. He says, singleness, this is a special gift from God. I wish everybody was single like I am, but not everybody can. It's a gift. It's a big deal. And when you think about gifts, and we're going to actually talk about gifts at Christmas time here. But when you think about gifts, especially spiritual gifts, not presents, they're all valuable. They all matter. And in another passage Paul talks about, you know, the body of Christ and how we all have our different part to play using our different gifts. And you can't say to one part, well, that part's not that important. The eye can't say, oh, well, you can't see, so foot, you're not that big of a deal. Well, the foot's a big deal because it gets us around. And the foot can't say, well, you don't actually get us around. Well, you see everything and keep us from running into objects. So you're not a big deal. No. That all matters. And that's the thing here is that you can't look at any gift and say, this isn't a big deal. Paul says, no, singleness, this is a gift and it's a special thing. And so I ask you the question, as a single person, not that you walk around going, I'm single. I'm awesome. But do you realize that is a powerful tool? That is a powerful gift and opportunity that you have. And we'll come back to that in a second. And as a married person, do you see singleness in that light? That this is something special, not a someday, not a, you know, when you get older, not a, oh, well, sorry, you know, spinster, sorry, old, person that lives in the old house with the crooked something and they're like an old, I mean, basically every like fairy tale that doesn't end with they live happily ever after is some single widow in a house with lots of somethings, dogs, bones, empty cupboards, children, I don't know, but But, you know, that's kind of the dichotomy, the extremes that we have, is that it's married and then there's those other people. And just understand this is something you should be honored. And, you know, you don't have to weird people out. Be like, oh, you're single. Oh, I mean, well, maybe we should. I don't know. I mean, we're going to have a chance. And it's going to feel awkward, but it doesn't have to be this week in your prime groups. You're going to spend time as a group praying for the single people in your group. And now all the single people are like, I'm not going. But just as a way to say, look, we love you and we want to honor what God is doing in your life and pray for you as a single person. And again, that's kind of like this awkward, like, I don't know, can we talk about that being single? No, it's not like they're sub-level of married. It's a gift. It's something that is powerful. And if someone says, I'm going to be single and be devoted to God, and we'll get to this in a second, then let's honor that. If they're single for other reasons, then okay, I'll give you a little bit of room to be like, okay, maybe that's not the most holy or spiritual moment in your life. So the first thing is that singleness should be honored. The second thing is that singleness should be redeemed. And here's what I want you to get. I want all of us to understand here that singleness is not something, this is not a tool of freedom. You are not single so that you're free to do whatever you want. And if I want to watch that show, I'm going to watch that show and nobody's going to tell me what not to do. And if I'm going to stay out or go to this place or do whatever, it's not an issue of, oh, I'm free. I'm not tied down by somebody. If that is your purpose, if that is your understanding of what it means to be single, then you've missed it. And that isn't something that should be honored. But if you say, I am single, and I know, and we'll get to this in a second, but I realize that at this time, God has a purpose for my singleness, and I want to use it for that purpose, then do it. Then redeem this. Let's make this something that's not like, hey, I'm single, so I can sleep with whoever I want. And that's what we say. Oh, I see you got a wedding ring. Sorry. Too bad for your sex life. I got a wedding ring. That's good for my sex life. Sorry, girls. Sorry, daughters. Because it gets better. We'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get to that in July or in June. But like we see this as like this. Oh yeah, I'm single. I can do whatever. No, that is not why you are single. Consider using your singleness, redeeming that back from what culture says that it is, and saying, I'm going to use this and say, for this time in my life, for this season of my life, for this moment here, whether that is for the next few years, because you're, you know, a young teenage type, maybe you're in your 70s or 80s, you know, wherever you are, maybe you are recently singled, wherever you find yourself, saying, I'm going to use this moment and redeem it and say, this isn't just for my freedom or for my space or this other alternative, I'm just using it till I get to where I'm really married. Don't use it. Don't make it like just a waiting time. Use it to say, okay, I am single right now. How can I be devoted to God? Redeem it. Buy it back. Take it back from culture and not be content with, oh, yeah, you're free. You go hang out at the bars. Or else. Maybe if you're not free to hang out at the bars, maybe I'm single now so that I can spend more time serving God. Maybe you can work overtime. Really crazy idea. Maybe you, because when you have a family, it's overtime is a hard thing because you're taking time away from your spouse. You're taking time away from your kids. But as a single person, maybe what if you worked overtime just so that you could support a child at Trigo? You work some overtime just so you can help with a ministry need because God has given you that singleness and redeem it and says you have a moment, you have an opportunity to be devoted to God. You have an opportunity to give everything you've got and have one job. And not be distracted. Not have a divided focus. This is what Paul writes in Titus. He says, this is a trustworthy saying. And I want to stress these things. That those who have trusted in God may be careful, intentional, to devote themselves to doing what is good. Now he says, this is for everybody. This isn't just for singles. He said, everybody, I want you to be careful to devoting yourself to doing what is good. He says, these things are excellent and profitable for everyone. So wherever you are in your life, whether you have never been married and you've got years till you should get married. That was directed at my children. All right, you have years till you should get married. If you choose to get married, if God leads you that way. Or if you're older and single. Or if you are recently single. Like, look at this as an opportunity to serve God. To redeem that and say, I can use this as a chance to devote myself to Him. Because that's God's intention. That's our God. You know, don't look at it as, yeah, I'm single now. Marriage fell apart. Guess I'll just have to wait till I get unsingle again. No, maybe God's saying, you're single now, and God wants to use that for a purpose, to be devoted to Him. And again, even if you're a teenager, if you're a student going, I can't wait to get married someday, that's fine. But right now, you're not. And you have one job. You don't have to worry about divided focus. So serve, be involved. And I love that MC3 student. Good luck trying to find someone that's an MC3 student that does not have a green shirt on at some point in the course of a month. Because I think everybody that is an MC3 student, student prime, serves here at MC3. That is great. Because you're not burdened down by some of the other responsibilities that married people have. So use that. Redeem your singleness. And I just want to encourage that, you know, as a culture, as we see other people, you know, it's okay for you as a married person or you as a single person, frankly, to come alongside a brother or sister in Jesus and say, look, maybe you've been looking at this all wrong. Maybe this isn't about what you've lost. Maybe this is about God using you for this season. And again, this is not for you to go like, oh, man, imagine what would happen if I abandoned my family. I could do so much for Jesus. God would love me. We'll talk about that next week. Don't do that. That's not the goal. Just if you're in that spot, in this season, and if that season is your life, whatever it looks like, redeem it. Use it to honor God, to devote yourself to doing what is good. So singleness should be honored by those that are single, by those that are unsingle, married. Singleness should be redeemed. Let's make it count. And honor those that are trying to make it count. And respect that. And the third thing is that singleness should be discouraged. Now, wait a second. I just said how important singleness is. And I just said that it's good that we want to honor singles. And we want to say, you know, redeem singleness and make it count. And now I'm saying singleness should be discouraged. Am I talking out of both sides of my mouth? Sometimes I am. But this is biblical. And there's a reason. And it comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, still in 1 Corinthians 7, in verses 8 to 9. Paul says, look, so I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it is better to stay unmarried just as I am. Now let's let that sink in. Let's flash some lights about it. It is better to stay unmarried just as I am. So it's the same theme. Paul is saying, I am single. If I'm single, I can devote myself to God. It's better to be single so you can stay focused on that. He says, but if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. Because it is better to marry than to burn with lust. Because Paul is unpacking here something that we're going to look at over the next few weeks and some other different topics in the series, but he's unpacking the idea that sex is designed for within marriage for all sorts of reasons, not just God saying, no, you shouldn't. It's designed for within the context of a marriage relationship. It's designed for that purpose. And so if you're single and you're hanging out as single for all of your life as a single couple, get married. Do the right thing. Or break up and stop sleeping around. Because that is not God's design. God's design is it's perfect for you. And so he says, look, if you're with somebody, if you've got a boyfriend or girlfriend, get married. Do it. Do it so you can do it. Like, I mean, that's what he's saying. Because it's better to get to do the right thing, the legal thing, if you will, the appropriate thing, than to find yourselves caught up in lust and either getting involved and crossing the line. I mean, I don't know what your church background is, but, you know, better than having sex that you shouldn't be having or just feeling this temptation like, oh, no, what if we do? I don't want to. And so he says, just get married. Do it. Because it's better to get married than to have all sorts of other sin issues rolling around in your life. Now, there's a lot of big picture stuff here. And again, that's part of the issue with premarital counseling. If a couple wants to get married and they meet with me and we go through these sessions, I say this, and I know this sounds kind of cruel, but my goal is to kind of make you change your mind. Because I don't want a couple to get married that shouldn't be married. And that doesn't mean you're just going to hang out as a single couple. This means you're done. You're breaking up. Because I don't want you to get caught up in something you shouldn't. But at the same time, get married. Like, do you understand? I hope you can see that tension there. Because this is what God's desire is a healthy, whole, physical, spiritual experience as a couple. And if that's what you want, then get married. But don't just be fooling around and doing this like, kind of on the side thing. It's messing things up. It is. And God can fix that and God can straighten these things out. But it's heading you down a path that is not healthy on so many levels for you. So Paul says, look, it's better to get married than to burn with lust. Don't get caught up in this stuff. Get married. Because that is better than to be trapped and caught, you know, get caught up in sin and in some other areas. And again, we'll talk more about that next week and the next few weeks. So you'll have to hang with me here and say, well, what is he talking about? It just sounds like you're saying no. And you'll have to be patient as we get there. I think that's the other thing when it comes to singleness, is that we need to perhaps discourage some people from being single. Perhaps we need to tell them, you know, maybe it's time to get married. Maybe it's time to take that step, because singleness is not the way God designed it to be in a relationship that's sexual. It needs to be discouraged. So singleness should be honored. We should elevate it. We should look at it as a big deal. Make it a big deal. Let people know that it is a big deal. And tell people how much, that just how powerful of a tool that is. Singleness should be redeemed. And as a church, please, let's do that. Let's come around those people and say, let's come alongside those that are not married. Say, let's use this. Take advantage of this opportunity. And again, not that we need to be telling all of our sob stories, but there's a lot more responsibilities to being married. There are. There's a lot more responsibilities when you add kids into the mix. And, of course, that's part of the package, too, is that, you know, and again, I know I'm sounding so negative, and we'll get to the good stuff in a few more weeks here, but kids were designed to come within marriage. And because of that, it works. When they come outside of that, it causes some other issues. And that's why Paul is saying, look, you know, if you're single, then use it well. And then he goes on and says, if you're single and you're in a relationship with someone, get married. Stop fooling around. Stop messing around. Get married. And if you're not willing, and here's the other thing too, right? If you're in a relationship with someone and you're not willing to get married, and I mean, I wish I could force conversations. Because I'm a male and I'm married to my female wife and we've had conversations about how this stuff kind of works. And I've counseled and been with couples and talked them through some issues, but typically the woman is assuming commitment, and typically the man is not. Just in a general relationship that is unmarried, sexual in nature, he's got what he wants. I know that sounds shallow. I know most men are not like that. And she's saying, oh, well, this is going to work. He's going to be here forever. And if you said, okay, let's get married, I mean, that's the conversation. What will he say? What will she say? She said, if he says no, then what's that relationship for? What does that mean? What's going on? You know what I'm saying here? I'm trying to help us to see that this isn't just a matter of God saying yes, no. This is a matter of God saying this is important and that's not it. It's that God has a design for us that is perfect, that is good. We talked about it last week. I mean, God's got that path set out for us with the finish line. And if we stay on the path, it's going to be the best. And so sometimes God's going to have to keep pointing us back in and redirecting us so we stay on that. And this is one of those areas. So that is my encouragement, my thoughts on this issue, my just opening something, again, that hasn't been touched much in church for us to understand that singleness is not a bad thing. It's not a lesser thing. It's a good thing. But the whole purpose, no matter where you find yourself, is to devote yourself to God. So try this relationship hack. Stay single and serve God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for, again, for your word. And I thank you that, I know I barely touched on the word of God. I barely touched today on how you see relationships, how you see singleness, how you see marriage. And I thank you that the story is so much broader and so much deeper and so much richer. But even in the few moments we've had this morning, we can see your intention. We can see your goals. And I pray for the unmarried people in this room that God, right now, that this would be a reality check for them. That they would decide, are they going to be focused on devoting themselves to you and redeeming their singleness? Or is this just a time for them to do what they want, to be selfish, to be shallow, whatever, to be just waiting until they really get married? And God, I pray for the married people in this room, that you would help us to honor singleness and honor those that devote themselves to serving you, that they have one job and aren't divided in their attention, but able to give what they have to you. And for each individual, God, wherever we are, I mean, as married couples, help us develop our marriages, help us to grow in that, and we'll get to that next week. But for the singles, God, give them wisdom. Give them wisdom if it's time to break off a relationship, if it's time to get married in a relationship, if it's time to just stay devoted to you or just be intentional about being devoted to you in their singleness. Guide them, give them wisdom to make those choices. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us, God. And thank you that your way is perfect. Help us to follow your way, your path, no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what thoughts we've been taught, no matter what culture says, so that we can be the best that you have designed us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.